Blog Talk Radio.
Live Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing mysteries of the Kingdom of Heaven. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. I praise you, I magnify you, I lift you up, God. You're greatly to be praised. There's no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. Father, we thank you for you being all-knowing. We thank you for you being present everywhere. We thank you for you being all-powerful. And God, I thank you for you having such love for us that you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for each and every one of us so that you could raise him from the dead, lead him at your right hand, and give us Holy Spirit to dwell within us so that we can be your children and communicate with you at all times and operate in absolute power. God, I thank you for you giving us the desire to seek those souls that you have been counted among those who are going to dwell with you in eternity. Father, I thank you for us embracing all of your word so that we can share the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, with others, and they can share in the fullness of a relationship with you as we do. I thank you for this right now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to listen to this song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Every chain is broken.
Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. And they tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. Breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting. Shifting. Shifting the atmosphere.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing mysteries of the Kingdom of Heaven. And the reason we're going to be discussing this is because God has chosen and seen fit to call us to be his children. Because he's called us, he is sharing with us in his word things that are not accessible to those who are not his children. There are those who would hear and see that is in word and would never understand, because without the Holy Spirit, it's of little benefit to you. And God tells us that people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And yet, for those of us who are disciples of Jesus Christ, we're disciplined followers of Jesus Christ, God says that it's been given to us know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. That is an incredible privilege, an incredible privilege and honor. And so when we understand that we have been placed in a place of favor, we have to understand that it is unacceptable to God to reject knowledge. God said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So we have to embrace knowledge of God that God makes available to us, and then come invested in God's plan. His plan is that he is putting together a heavenly kingdom of many nations. We are to be a part of that plan by sharing the word of God with everybody we come in contact with, sharing the death, burial, and resurrection of God's son, Jesus Christ, with everyone, so that they can come into the presence of God as a dear child after they make God's son, Jesus Christ, their master. And so when we get to the place where we are deliberate about our job, and we are beginning to see mysteries of the kingdom of heaven unfold. And Jesus Christ was trying to share with his disciples these mysteries of the kingdom. There were these multitudes who were following Jesus Christ around all the time because they were looking for deliverance. They were looking for healing. They were looking for restoration. They were looking for relief. And he was providing it because he was there to minister to their need. And yet, he knew that what they really needed was what they were not going to hear, what they were not going to see. So Jesus Christ spoke to them in parables. And what we're going to see here, we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 13 tonight. And when Jesus Christ is sharing with these multitudes who are looking for healing, and they're looking for signs and wonders, what Jesus Christ shares with his disciples is that these people in the multitude, they see, but they don't perceive. They hear, but they don't understand. And so after he speaks to the multitudes in parables, then when he is by himself with his disciples, with his disciplined followers, people who are going to see enough, people who are going to hear, who stick around after the event, after the crowd. He shares with them the true meaning of the parables. And you begin to see how special it is when God picks you to share the truth of his word with. And yet, there are some of us that still need to learn how valuable scripture is. We still need to prioritize a relationship with God enough that we pick up our Bible once a day and spend time in God's word so that he can show us things that we never understand, we would never comprehend, we would never experience if it wasn't for God's word. He took the effort to first record his word in the stars. and then took the effort to record his word on stone tablets, and then took the effort to record his word on scrolls of parchment. And then, thousands of years later, took time to prepare and protect and progressively roll out his word so that we can be studying it today in such a way that we are with access to it on any electronic device. So God has preserved his word in many languages, in many formats, and there is no excuse. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven have been made known to us and made available to us so that we can truly become a part of God's plan and help God realize his heavenly kingdom of many nations, which he is going to get great, great glory out of. Because what God puts his hand to do gets done. There is nothing that God is going to do that he said he was going to do that is not going to get done. And you can take that to the bank. So let's look at what Jesus Christ is sharing with his disciples here in Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to start here in verse 1. Because what it says here is very important. It says in Matthew 13, verse 1, is that on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the multitudes stood on the shore. So Jesus Christ is sitting out in this boat. And then all these multitudes of people are on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Hold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth. They immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell on thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." This is Jesus Christ's presentation to the multitudes that were on the shore when he was in the boat. So now, Jesus Christ is going to explain the purpose of the parables to his disciples, because after Jesus Christ got done sharing this with the multitudes on the shore, shared this parable with them, Jesus Christ's disciples came to him and said, verse 10, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." I want to stop there for a minute, because it's important to understand the privilege that we have to have been chosen to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And when you understand that, and see, some people would judge God, as many people do, and they would say, "That's not fair. Why did he give it to some and not to others?" Well, really, because God is all-knowing, God is all-powerful, and God is present everywhere. God knows. He's the only one who knows the past, present, and future. God knows who's going to believe and who's not going to believe. God knows who's going to do what he says and who's not going to do what he says. God knows who's going to hear and who is not going to hear. God knows who's going to see and who is not going to see. And so And you understand that God is not going to waste what he has made available on those who are not going to participate in helping him realize his plan of creating a heavenly kingdom of many nations. And makes perfect sense. And Jesus Christ broke it down when the disciples said, why do you speak to them in parables? Why do you speak to the multitude in parables? And he answered them and said, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So we want to, one, not reject knowledge ourselves and not studying God's word. We want to prioritize and make it a point to study God's word every day. I don't care if you read one verse. I don't care if you read one chapter. I don't care if you read one book. You should take in the word of God every day, just like you would eat breakfast any day. You would eat at least one meal every day, maybe even a snack. And if you live in America, you might eat three meals and three snacks. But when you're talking about your spiritual diet, you have to study God's word, because God says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And that lack of knowledge is a lack of knowledge of his word, of his will, of his design, of his plan, of what he has done and what he is doing and what he is going to do. And see, when you know what God has shared with you and you can fully participate in all that God is asking you to do. So Jesus Christ answered his disciples, he said, it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but it has not been given to them. That's a hard thing, because this is a clear distinction between us and them. Those who it has not been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, and those of us to whom it has been given. But we want everyone to know. We're going to share with them what we know. But we know that many are going to reject it. The multitudes will listen for entertainment purposes. They will listen to be spectators. And so they'll receive the parables. They'll receive the clever preaching. They'll receive the wonderful, well put together words and ideas and thoughts and examples. They'll receive the parables. But when it comes down to the Word of God, which can actually change their life, Word of God that can actually cleanse them, what they'll do is they'll rely on what many people have been taught in seminary. Don't you go reading too many scriptures. I'm here to tell you right now that what Lester Carver has to say is not going to change your life. What Lester Carver has to say cannot cleanse you from all sin. Only the Word of God can cleanse you and strengthen you and encourage you and empower you, because the full authority and power that stands behind that word is God Almighty, who magnified his word above his name. And so we want to do the same. So look at what it says here in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 13. It says, for whoever has to him, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. The hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear, and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, repent, so that I should heal them. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Now, this is Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples, but if you go back earlier, chapter 11, Jesus Christ was speaking to the nations that he performed many mighty works in. And he did many works in Chorazin, in Bethsaida, in Tyre, in Sidon. And well, actually, places he did these works, not those. He said, woe to Chorazin, woe to Bethsaida. If the mighty works that were done in those places were done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago. And what Jesus Christ was saying was, these places where he was, and he did these many mighty works, signs, miracles, and wonders, he did. The people did not repent. He is telling us that we want to see and proceed. We want to hear and we want to understand. And so Jesus Christ is going to break down the meaning of parables for his disciples. But while he was speaking to the multitudes, see the parable, and that was enough. They wanted to enjoy the spectacle. They wanted to hear the story. They wanted to be a part of the event. And so Jesus Christ is telling his disciples, it has not been given to them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It's been given to the disciples, the disciplined followers of Jesus Christ, those who are going to follow the example of Jesus Christ and do what he did. And respond to what you hear, respond to what you see, and repent. To turn your heart away from the things of your flesh, to turn your heart to the things of God. So now Jesus Christ proceeds to explain the parable of the sower to his disciples. It says here in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 13, therefore hear the parable of the sower. If anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. Remember the parable of the sower and the seed, and he said that there was seed that fell by the wayside, right? Seed that fell by the wayside is describing the person who receives the word of the kingdom but does not understand it. And because he doesn't understand the word when he receives it, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. And that is an unfortunate thing that happens to so many people, where the Bible seems beyond them. And they hear, but they don't understand. And that's why teachers are so important. See, many people, they want to be an apostle. They want to be a prophet. They want to be an evangelist. They want to be a pastor. But the teachers, we are charged to teach faithful people who are able to teach others also, so that when they hear the word of the kingdom, they do understand it. And then the wicked one can't come and snatch away what was sown in his heart. See, because you got to take time to reveal the things of God in his word so that people can understand them. And what Jesus Christ was saying was, these large multitudes, these large crowds, that's not where this sowing is going to occur. That is not where the true nurturing of the word is going to occur. That is the event. That is the spectacle. That is what everybody is coming to see. You want to hear the parable. You want to be a part of the event. But now, one who hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it is subject to the wicked one coming and snatching it away as soon as it was sown into his heart. And so that is the seed that was by the wayside. Verse 20, Jesus Christ says, but he who received seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, endures only for a while. When tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. This is something that really requires part of someone who is going to take time for the person to allow the word to take root in their heart so that you can share with this individual what he needs to know about the journey coming up. See, what you find out is that Matt in Romans chapter 5, God says that we know. You know what? Let's go there real quick. I'm going to go to Romans chapter 5 because this speaks directly to what I was saying about God saying his people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because one of the things we read over many times is exactly what God is trying to get to us in his word. Look at what it says here in Romans chapter 5. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope for the glory of God. Not only that, we also glory in tribulations. Look at this next word, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given unto us. Now, this is the key thing I wanted to point out here, though. In verse 3, it says, not only that, all the good things, the grace of God and the glory of God, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces patience, and patience produces experience, and experience produces hope, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So tribulation is just God's way of getting us more patience, experience, and hope. Look at what happens to this individual here. It said, he who received the seed on stony places, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. He understood the value of the word. He received it joyfully, yet he has no root in himself, endures for a little while. When persecution and tribulation arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. When it costs people convenience, and it costs people their privileges, and it costs people their time, talent, and treasure, and you begin to get persecuted because of your belief in Jesus Christ and the Word of God, then if you have no root in you, you will stumble. And that's why we have to teach people the Word of God. We have to work with them over time so that they can become disciplined followers, just like we became disciplined followers. There were people who we had to see walking this faith walk out. We had to see them fellowshipping with like-minded believers and studying the word of God and sharing word with others. We had to see what that looked like. So now, look at this next example that Jesus Christ shares with us. In verse 22, it says, "Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." See, we want to live a fruitful Christian life. The devil knows if he can't get you one way, he'll try and get you another way. But see, the seed that was sown, seed was good seed. It just fell on poor ground. It was either stony ground, shallow ground. And now you see it falling upon ground that has thorns among it. And when it rises up, it's choked by the thorns. And see, when you receive the word among thorns, you're comparing the word with cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Riches say money will solve all your problems. And some people use the word of God to back that up and say that money satisfies all things, and they'll focus on what their real desire is to serve money. God says you can't serve in money. You got to choose. You got to decide you're going to serve God or you're going to serve money. You're not going to serve both. And so the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Cares of this world choke the word. See, your desire to be embraced by others who you respect, that you think can give you an advantage in the world, that is designed to choke the life of the word out of your life so that your Christian walk becomes unfruitful. That is us saying, I want God on the side. I want just enough of God so that it doesn't mess up my money. That's what the Pharisees were all about. Pharisees were all about maintaining their social position. Look at what Jesus Christ says in verse 23. This is who we want to be. He who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold, which tells you that all of us are going to, all of us, being true disciples of Jesus Christ, who are good ground, who do hear the word and understand it, and their fruit going to produce to varying extents. Some of us will produce a 100-fold crop. Some of us will produce a 60-fold crop. Some of us will produce a 30-fold crop. But you know what? We're all going to be fruitful in our Christian walk, which is a desired goal. That is what God is looking for. God knows how much you're going to trust him. God knows how much you're going to believe him. God knows how much you're going to rely on him. And so he knows if you're going to produce a 100-fold crop. God knows if you're going to produce a 60-fold crop. God knows if you're going to produce a 30-fold crop. Important thing is that you are fruitful, that you understand, so that when you hear the word of God and you understand it, you can share it with somebody else, because it's not just for you. It's for you to bear fruit. And so that fruit is not just in your life, because see, the fruit is the result of you engaging God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit. Then you'll produce in your life love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control, which is the fruit of the Spirit. And we all know that within fruit is seed. And seed is multiplying whatever that fruit was. So that if you have a pomegranate, you know, a pomegranate is full of seed. If you have an orange, you know that an orange has many seeds. If you have a strawberry, you know strawberries have a multitude of seeds. What you have to understand is that your fruit that you're producing in your life as you read, study, and understand the Word of God is falling on your heart, which is good ground because, see, the Word can remove any stony places from your heart, any stony places of hurt, harm, shame, disappointment, unbelief, doubt, worry, fear, negativity, any attack that has come against you in your life can be removed and undone, dismantled by the power of the Word of God. And you have to understand that's God's will for you, to live a life free of your past, because all of us have a past. All of us have a time before we had the power of the Holy Spirit within us. We were subject to everything that the devil would put forth to try to stop us before we ever came into a knowledge of who we were in Christ Jesus, before we ever knew who Jesus Christ was. You know, I think one of the best examples of this is when Jesus Christ was born, the devil was trying to stop him before he even got started. He had Herod put out a hit on Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ was a newborn babe. And God had to tell Joseph in a dream, hey, take that baby and go to Egypt because Herod is looking for him. It didn't stop Herod from killing hundreds of babies that were baby boys that were 2 years old and younger because they were within the age group that Jesus Christ was. And they lived in the same area when Jesus Christ was born. And when he heard that a king was born in his realm, he was trying to kill that king before that king even rose up. See, the devil was trying to come at us before he even knew God was calling us. And so when we look back on things in our life that made us feel less than, made us feel like victims, made us feel like we would never make it, and then God picked us up, cleaned us up, and placed the power of his Holy Spirit within us, and then placed his Word within us. God's Word is what allows you to renew your mind. You can replace all of that negative self-talk with what the Word of God says. You can replace all of that verbal abuse that somebody laid upon you when you were young with what the Word of God says. You can place all that abuse that some abusive spouse placed on you with what the Word of God says. You can decide to live a more than abundant life because, see, abundance is in fruitfulness. And it's not just in the fruit. It's in the seed in the fruit. When you become fruitful, whatever extent, whether it's 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold, there's seed in your fruit. What you want to see in your life as a real measure is, how much love am I producing? How much joy, how much peace am I producing? How much gentleness, how much meekness, how much kindness am I producing in my life? How much patience, how much faithfulness, and how much self-control am I producing in my life? Because that fruit is going to be sown into the lives of others who are going to see your example, you following the example of Jesus Christ, and then they're going to follow your example, and that's going to lead them to God. Because they're going to see you studying your Word, living your Word, doing what you believe. And then they're going to see God rewarding you openly because they're going to be praying secretly. And they're going to see God rewarding you openly with peace, of joy, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, self-control. See how that works? Is they're going to see you fasting secretly because they're not going to see you fasting because you're going to be fasting secretly. But what they're going to see is God rewarding you openly. And they're going to say, hey, whatever he's doing, I need to be doing. And that's going to cause them to study God's word. And God's word is going to show them where to be fasting secretly, praying secretly, and then doing our good deeds. Not on YouTube, not on Facebook, not on Twitter, not on TV. Doing our good deeds secretly. And God is going to reward us openly. And then if you want to do something publicly, if you want to do something openly, forgive. Jesus Christ forgave you openly. And you need to forgive everyone openly. Be free from whatever attack has come against you, because when you forgive openly, God forgives you. You are truly acknowledging the magnitude of God's forgiveness of you when you forgive others, because you realize that no one has sinned against you and disappointed you more than you have sinned against God and disappointed God. So I want you just to begin to understand that Jesus Christ chose to share the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven with you. That's an amazing privilege. And he shared with his disciples these stories. And he shared the meaning of these stories with his disciples, not with the multitudes, not with the people who were coming for the show, not with the people who were buying the tickets so that they could hear the band and eat the food and rub elbows with other fancy people. I don't have anything against rubbing elbows with fancy people and eating good food and hearing good music with people who say they love God. I don't have anything against that at all, right? But we have the opportunity to hear and understand the word of God. That's what we have to be seeking. I want to share one more parable with you so that you can understand another dimension of some of the attacks that come against us when we're doing what God has given us to do. Here in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus Christ shares another parable of wheat and the tares with his disciples. What he says in verse 24, it says, another parable he put forth to them, saying, kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. I want to stop right there. While men slept, man who sowed good seed in his field had his enemy come and sow tares among the wheat. So he didn't even know that anything occurred when he rose. All he knew was that the work he did was accomplished, and he sowed his good seed in his field. While the men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. When the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. Servants said to him, you want us to go and gather them up? He said, no, thus while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. Gather the wheat into my barn. So this parable is really telling you something, telling you a couple things. One, it's telling you that kingdom of heaven is very similar to man with a field who sowed good seed in his field, and then the devil, the enemy, came in at night and sowed tares among the wheat. So you have this good ground that has the bad seed on side of the good seed. Seed with no nutrition on side of the seed with incredible nutrition. Seed with no value on side of the seed with great value. It's been planted in a good field. It was planted by the enemy of the man who owned the field, alongside of the good seed that the man who owned the field planted. The man who owned the field, who planted the good seed in his field, did not know that the enemy came in and planted that seed on side of his good seed. But when grains sprouted and produced a crop, the owner of the field identified that there were tares among his wheat. The servants of the owner started questioning the owner of the field. He said, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" And this makes me really think of one of the biggest criticisms that we get among the churches. People, I literally heard this at a community leader's funeral once, and these pastors were allowing this to be said, and this gentleman, very respectful figure in the community, had not permitted his children to go to church because he said that some of the worst people in the city were in church. And I thought about that, and I said, that's exactly where they should be, in church. They should be being ministered to in church. That's no reason to keep your family from church, right? And so this here is one of the things. People are saying, hey, wait, how did all these tares end up in the same place as wheat? And then the servants of the owner, and they said, hey, didn't you sow good seed in your field? How do we have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. See, just because some bad people with bad motives and bad agendas have been sent to your assembly where you worship God to cause division, to cause dissent, and sow discord and chaos and confusion. We know that God is a God of order. He does all things decently and in order. And so we have to walk in love toward our tares, even toward the tares. That's why God says we have to love our enemies. Bless those who curse us, good to them who spitefully use us, and pray for those who persecute us. That's what we have to do. What the tares do is the tares' business, because we're going to be rounded up someday. Look at this. Verse 28, he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us to go then and gather them up? He said to them, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. I'm going to stop there because there's another golden nugget there that many people on these witch hunts in their church looking for people that they don't trust, looking for people that they feel being the congregation harm. And instead of dealing with their own heart and perfecting their love walk, they start attacking other people in the assembly. And this is not walking in love. This is called sowing discord among the brethren. And so you have to look at the wisdom that's here in this parable. It says, hey, while you're about the business of trying to uproot the tares, your witch hunt, be careful, because you'll probably uproot the wheat with them as well and help them achieve their end. Owner of the field says, let them both grow together until harvest. At the time of harvest, we'll say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them. Gather together the wheat into my barn. And that's what God is saying about the body of Christ. He's saying, you know what? Don't waste time with the tares. He said, I am going to do the reaping, the gathering, and the burning. I have a place for the wheat. So we have to allow ourselves to be the seed and good ground, and we have to have a fruitful love walk with God that sees and understands, so that we can see with our eyes, hear with our ears, so that our hearts can understand and we can repent. That is what we have to do, so that we are not like those who hear but don't understand what they heard, or like those who see but do not perceive what they see. We have to be those that is given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And so we seek our knowledge of those things as we study God's word. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth this evening, God. I thank you for you blessing someone, strengthening them, encouraging them, and giving them a heart to seek you and serve you and please you and trust you and obey you today. I thank you for this right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network, Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Be ye transformed.
Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm altered out, hurt and abused. I can't pray. What's left to do?
Come on.
Truth is I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. My heart's torn to pieces. It's my all.